Welcome to Flick Through Friday, where I, KCMY, give you a movie review on a TV show, movie, documentary, literally anything you watch on a streaming service to cut your time in half and really get down to brass tacks to see whether the movie you're flicking to is worth it or not. Welcome and thank you for coming and listening. Today's episode is going to be on Morbius. Today's episode is on Morbius. I got my friend Shano here, and let's go ahead and get into it. First things first, as far as the plot is concerned, as far as the story goes, this is a story about a crippled... Yes, it's not offensive to call him.
Handicapped. I mean, he's got a disease.
He definitely has a legitimate disease.
A dying person
is trying to find a cure for him and his little friend that he made in very special orphanage school.
Yeah. The friend thought he was going to get cured, but then the kid's like, no, you don't get cured here.
Right. Which is weird as shit. Well, anywho.
Yeah, anywho.
It's literally about a disabled doctor trying to find the cure for his very rare bloodborne disease that keeps him from walking or standing up straight without the help of sticks. That's pretty much in a nutshell.
And then to fix his disease, he gets the DNA of bats and he injects into his spine. And then bad shit happens after that, I guess. Yeah. And then his friend gets jealous. He's like, hey, I want to be a bad person. So then he steals it.
Right.
It's so easy for him to take. Why wasn't it locked up?
Right. Which kind of like throws it all out of the loop. Because, first of all right, that's literally the end of the synopsis. But like, first of all, how the fuck do you know what the serum looks like, Milo? Who's never been in there, by the way. That's Milo is not this guy's name.
No, his name is Lucian.
His name is fucking Lucian, which is ironic as shit, because it's bringing me like Underworld vibes. Except the most Underworld looking motherfucker is Jared Leto.
Yeah, I didn't hate the way that he looked, but I really didn't like how Matt Smith looked. His vampire look was really off-putting to me.
Yeah. And then he went full Tobey Maguire, let me dance in the mirror.
Yeah.
And be a bad guy kind of thing. Let me randomly attack a bodega carrying dude with a bunch of magazines who judges my friend. Yeah. Looking ass motherfucker. Yo. Oh my god. Yeah. So, this movie is bad.
Yeah.
Phenomenally so. I mean, we're gonna like just go ahead and skip to that part. It's like, I think like maybe five or six things for me personally are like, okay, I give it a pass. So like the fight scenes, I don't hate them.
No, I don't hate them either.
They're just not long.
No, they're
not that long. They're like literal split second fights. Like, motherfucker, you pay for a movie ticket to watch Defenders.
Yeah.
Is basically what this shit is. So that's one. I don't hate the origin story. Like, it made sense back in the day to call Lucian Milo, because then it made sense that a little kid had a friend named Milo,
And he had so many friends that died.
Right.
That he didn't want to keep learning new names. And that's cute as a kid.
Right.
But for this kid to call up an adult, and for other adults to keep calling him the wrong name, I would be pissed.
Right.
If people kept calling me the wrong name. Like, as an adult, you're like, did he change? What if he changed his name? Like, does he sign his name Milo? Like,
right. Signs his name Milo.
Do his business associates, because this guy is rich. I assume he's into some crazy he's into some illegal business.
Right.
So in his business dealings, do people call him Milo?
Do his people call him Milo? Where the fuck does his money come from?
Yeah, they don't explain that.
Okay, I don't hate Tyrese at all in this. I mean, his role was not, like, fully fleshed out, but he did what he could with it.
I think based off of the trailers, from the trailers, there were a lot of reshoots, a lot of re-editing, because I think Tyrese was supposed to have a bigger role.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I don't hate his role in that. I don't hate the whole buddy cop thing.
No.
Between him and his partner.
Magical.
Right. Like, I'm not against that. Like, that's... Okay, so that's three things. The fourth thing is I don't hate the way... The transformations at all. I'm not against the...
Every transformation or the initial transformation?
The initial.
We didn't even see Milo's. I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Right.
I think it could have been... It could have had a better reveal. They showed us the face way too soon. He's shaking on the bed, and then he disappears, and then he's on the ceiling. I thought that was weird. I thought that was kind of goofy. Right away, he's a bat, so he's on the ceiling.
Right, like, how the fuck... First of all, who undid your fucking restraints?
Well, I think we're supposed to believe that he broke out of them, but it would have been cooler to see that.
Right.
Because he was shaking, and he was staying still. And what made the lights in the boat flicker? They weren't doing anything with the computers. They were just...
Which
giving him a shot.
Which, you know, inadvertently brings me to the fifth thing that I gotta say I liked about this whole movie is how they played with Morbius being the good guy who made the mistake initially in that scene, right? Like, he kills, like, mercenaries.
Yeah.
Like, whether they had, like, really fucked up lives or not, you know, it didn't matter. They didn't deserve to die, like, right then and there. Especially behind his crazy ass hunting some random ass fucking... Like, you gotta be on some random shit to, like, find bats to be like, I want your body. I want your ability.
Man. Yeah, that opening scene with the bats was really cool. Then when we find out, okay, somehow he got those bats that flew out. He got them in that tank.
And they're
all New York.
Right.
Like, there was no net.
There's no net. I mean, they're apparently friends. But, like, I like how he's the good guy who's trying to find this cure who fucks up the first transformation. And he gets blamed for everything Milo Lucian / is doing.
Yeah.
When he becomes the fucking anti-Morbius.
Yeah.
That's literally the last thing I really like about it. Everything else, y'all can fucking keep. Like, y'all can keep all of the rest of it. Oh my God. How do you like the acting overall?
It was fine. Fine. Jared Leto was fine. I liked the special effects. I know that doesn't have anything to do with the acting, but him acting with the special effects was fine. I guess I didn't like Matt Smith very much in this. I think he was making it too cheesy. And then Al Madrigal was just kind of cheesing it up a bit too much too. Jared Harris, way underused.
Yeah,
like the most acclaimed actor in the whole movie, and it's so funny the ratio in the trailers to the movie. Like Jared Harris is in the trailers a lot, but he's harder than the movie. Matt Smith is in the movie a lot, but harder than the trailers.
Right.
That's what kind of makes me think that a lot of rewrites and reshoots.
And it looks hella predictable to make Matt Smith the villain, and he's British, and he has illegal dealings. Right? Wait, I'm right. That's his name. Am I mixing him
up? The actor?
The actor.
Yeah, the evil vampire is Matt Smith, yeah.
Right, Matt Smith. Yeah. So, like, that's mad predictable.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty obvious that he was going to do what he did.
Right. Like, from jump. And then I also have to... It was also weird that Morbius didn't pick up that his friend was actually, like, a homicidal, crazy motherfucker who beats the shit out of kids as a cripple.
Like, oh, yeah, God, that's damn. Right. That's right.
Like...
Yeah, I guess that's a red flag.
Like, whole red flag here. Hold the phone. First, I get you lost your note, but then, like, your ass can barely stand up and you smack someone with your cane in the face.
Well, those kids were being pretty mean to him.
The kids were being pretty mean, no doubt. But I'm also like, yo, you're doing too much. Like, well, this is...
Man, he's so stupid. Because he saw how... The acting is good. It's just the choices that they make are dumb and make no sense. The choices the characters make are dumb and make no sense. Because when Milo was being very aggressive when he was asking for the cure... And then Jared Leto wouldn't give it to him, so Milo ran off very upset. Isn't that the point when you should lock up the cure, lock up the thing that he wants?
Right.
It's so obvious to us that he's going to steal it, so why don't you fucking lock it up?
You didn't lock it up, and then adding insult to injury... You fucking co-signed this dude. Like, you showed
it right away. He must have stolen it on his way out.
Right.
Because wasn't it right after that Milo killed the nurse and then Michael got arrested?
Yeah.
So he must have been like, give it to me. No, I'm not going to give it to you. Okay, yoink, bye.
Right.
Wait, like, is that it? Yeah, okay. Bye. Oh, yeah. Because Michael was still in that little cage. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
He
left him in
that cage. So they won't give you. I'm like, okay, you don't close the door. Yeah, okay. Oh, this is the guy. Okay, thanks.
Like, so stupid. Right, like your friend. Like, yo, like you're watching your friend go from like he's standing up straight, but his face is fucked. Like, he's telling him to get out, and he's transforming into that ugly random thing. Like, that wasn't like a dead giveaway to like not take the serum.
Yeah.
Let's see. Costuming is meh.
I liked the costuming. Well, what's funny is that the characters made fun of the costuming. They made fun of each other for how they dressed.
Right.
You know, Milo made fun of Michael and said, oh, I didn't know we had to dress for a funeral. And then Mike's like, well, what are you wearing? You looks like you're wearing a quilt.
Right. Like, their whole contrast... Like, I love... I could dig that. Like, their contrast from being disabled versus to being fully able-bodied.
Yeah.
I think it's also pretty interesting when they, like, fly and like, glide and everything. The color of their clothes blends with the air.
Sure, yeah.
I'm also, like, losing track of how the fuck that even... How does that happen? Like...
I don't know. One really weird scene that maybe has to do with the flying. When he gets arrested, he's on the roof, and he could have flown away, but it looks like there's wind, and he's about to like fall over.
And then
Tyrese is like, "It's over.
Don't go anywhere.
Go. Is that what he says? I don't know.
Yeah.
What was happening? Was that wind? Was he trying to fly away and he couldn't?
Okay. Yes. Here's the funny thing, though. And it's how I thought we were going to start this whole thing, but it was like, nah, you totally went out there and watched it. Who the fuck is Morbius? Was the originally what I started with. So turns out that is Wind, to answer that question.
Okay.
according to the comics, Morbius's bones are hollow.
Oh, so that's how he can fly.
So that's technically how he can fly. So, like, but most people say fly, but specifically the comics say he glides everywhere.
I didn't read a lot of Morbius comics, but I remember the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. It looked like he glided because he had, like, that big trench coat.
Right.
So I think I remember he would, like, pull that, he would, you know, pull up his trench coat, right?
Right.
Like the winds.
Yeah.
So the wind would catch the trench coat and he could fly using that.
Oh, no.
Or glide using that, you know.
Right.
You use a trench coat like a hang glider, I guess you would say.
And that's technically the same way Storm flies. Is that she has,
she's got,
like,
those little...
she has those little, like, flap things, right?
Yeah.
And, like, she controls wind around herself and fucking glides. But no,
yeah,
apparently with Morbius, it's that his, like, you, if this dude gets, like, a gust of wind, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he has to,
it seems like the first time he uses it, he's just jumping. He can just jump really high, like the Hulk, I guess.
Yeah.
But then I guess later in the movie, he's able to control it more and actually fly.
Right. Which I like, but I don't like because I'm like, at the same time, it goes back to how this movie even makes sense. How in the fuck is Morbius finding out how to fly before Milo is? Milo figured out how to get fast as fuck, knew how to, like, hear people, he knew how to immediately that he was supposed to suck blood to live.
Right. I think it's because Milo never... This doesn't make sense, but... But Milo...
You're trying to explain...
Milo never drank the artificial blood. But why does the artificial blood work at all?
That's the other big question, right? Like...
It's artificial... Like... When you're using, so okay, like artificial blood, that's a real thing,
right?
Right, that does work. We know that
right.
Artificial blood does work temporarily. I don't really know the science, but I think if somebody needs blood, if they're in surgery, they can use temporary blood, artificial blood temporarily. But I don't think. I mean, they're like bat people, right? I don't think a vampire bat would know.
A vampire bat would know the
the difference.
Right.
So how in the world would artificial blood do anything for you? You know, when you're like drinking it so it can sustain you is different than using it to run your body. I don't know how to explain that.
So
a scientist should have written this movie because obviously they know nothing about this. I don't, but I can tell that they didn't do any homework.
None at all. It's not like Thunder Force bad, right? It's not like that. That's the other big thing about this. It's not like Thunder Force, Melissa McCarthy, Octavia Spencer bad. No, this is like we know there's a comic with Morbius involved, and we need another hero to look up, and so we're just gonna go ahead and like mesh this guy in, because you know you're mentioning this about artificial blood. Yes, it is supposed to be like a temporary like support system until such time you figure out what someone's blood type is, and then you give them that.
Yeah,
but Morbius is out here drinking the shit.
He's
like Capri Sun.
Yeah.
And, like, finding out slowly but surely he's building a tolerance for.
Yeah.
But then the early onset part of it, he's hailed for it at the Nobel Peace, like, ceremony. But then he tells the Swedish king it's a failure. So how the fuck is the artificial blood you created a fail, but you're living off of it, and you're clearly building a tolerance for it, where you could have just, like, told yourself, well, I'll drink the bags of blood I have sitting next to the artificial blood because no one's getting hurt.
Do they call real blood red?
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's also was kind of confusing because
there was a
like,
lingo I had to catch on to really quickly. I'm like, red, what You didn't explain what regret is. I had to figure, like, you mean blood?
Like,
it's called blood.
Like, and this motherfucker drew it in what blood? Is yeah, where, oh, like,
he
where
drew
you
blood in blood.
Right. Like, where the fuck did this come from? Were you like, did you bite yourself to make this happen?
Yeah, where did you get the blood that used to write blood?
Oh my god. And can we talk about how he's like, we touched on this briefly. Can we talk about how this motherfucker like building random shit out of counterfeit, like yeah. you said, like oh, out of oh, counterfeit yeah. parts? This ain't Tony. You're not Tony. What the fuck are you doing?
Okay, yeah, we talked about this whole scene earlier, but let's go over it again real quick. He's in the cafe, and he sees somebody go to a waitress and gives him $100 bill. She uses the counterfeit markers. Let's say this is kind of, I can't take this. She's like, yeah, you can. Here's some more. She give, I watched that part like just now. And he gives her a bunch.
Right.
Here's something for you. Here's some more. And here's something for you. Like, you keep giving her evidence. She caught you committing a crime. And you're giving her more evidence to convict you of the crime.
And this
what
bitch
is wrong
went,
with you?
This bitch went from I can't take it to oh okay sure I have bills. Like,
is that what she said?
Yeah, like she took it all and put it in her pocket.
Oh, did she put it in her pocket?
She did.
Okay.
I'm sitting here like,
yeah, she turned really quickly on that issue.
What?
She's like, oh, I can't take this. Oh, I guess I can. Like, okay.
Well, you're stuffing my pockets with it. And my man just won't tell Martine, I'm gonna break up this counterfeiting ring.
Like, now that you've seen, I mean, we both have done retail, but once she, I assume she's just a waitress, she's not the owner. Your owner or manager is gonna see the marker on the $100 bill in your register.
Right.
And he's going to call you up like, hey, this, did you call the police? Or you didn't tell me that someone came out with a counterfeit $100 bill. Oh, yeah, but they gave me lawnmowers. So I thought it'd be cool.
Right. Like, this is the weird... That's the shittiest explanation. That's going to be a shitty fucking explanation. Like, I needed the money. But it's fake, but I needed the money. Did you tell them that? Yeah, I did. But I... I guess like I needed the money and I just kept it. Oh my god.
So then they go back to the lab.
So Morbius follows these random shitty guys with really bad counterfeiting money. Like the shit looked like fully printed.
Yeah.
Goes back to their lab, finds the leader. Leader takes out a knife and he breaks the leader's hand. Well, goes through his fingers, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of fun. Tell us about all the different kinds of bones in his hand.
Right. And I guess I at first went with the idea that, oh, because Morbius is this genius doctor, he learned how to break people's hands without sending them over to the hospital. Because after he broke, fucked up homeboy's hand, he's just like, 6 to 8 weeks, take some ibuprofen. Like, oh, is that really how... You fix your
like,
shit.
Okay, I believe you.
Like, I guess so. I believe you now. And then he proceeds to tear down all of the counterfeiting money equipment and turn it into his own personal lab to retest a serum against his blood to sort of heal.
There's no way that's the same kind of equipment. I mean, I get, well, because Martin brought some stuff from the lab, but I don't, there's no way.
There's
you
no
could
way.
Connect those two kind of equipment.
Right. Like, something should have been like, it doesn't fit. I actually need to go to my lab. Can you, like, get me in? I know I'm like, a wanted man now, but, you know, you could use your key card, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Cinematography-wise, I say it's brilliant.
Yeah, like I said, I like the effects. I mean, the best cinematography. I mean, this kind of movie, like cinematography and effects, kind of go hand. The best shots are the ones with effects, unfortunately. But I like the effect of when he was using his echolocation, it would do like a close up of his ear.
Yeah.
And it had those like lines.
That was actually pretty cool. Yeah. Like you're watching, like it brought some specificity to his transformation.
Yeah.
Instead of just being the guy that goes pale, he's like, like whole ear strands grow out of his eardrum.
Yeah.
And he's picking up all of it. And I love like the entire landscape turning into this wispy, like this wispy smoky spot where he can like literally pinpoint who's making the noise if he focused on it hard enough.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty interesting. That was pretty cool. And then of course that whole initial scene where he gets into a fight with Milo Lucian slashy friend. Before homeboy basically kills more police officers
in the subway.
In the subway.
Now that was a cool. That was probably the best action scene
in the entire movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was kind of short. Not super short. Not too bad. But it was kind of cool how they were going like down. And there was some slow motion or freeze frame shots. But you know they were going down the escalator. But then it ended pretty quickly. I don't even remember how they get away.
That part I don't either. Oh, Morbius flies on the wheel.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, so Milo is pinned by the police, and he takes a piece out of the wall and just throws at one of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by, like, that was pretty dope.
And then they get distracted, I guess, by that. And then I think he just bolts.
I'm trying to, and that's another big hole.
And then after that, you would think after that, like, after, like, the police have seen his face.
Right.
But he's still going to the bars and the clubs.
Right, that's perfect. Like, that's a huge hole. How are you in the subway system, and you witness you don't see two guys on the camera. You have how many witnesses who saw two people fighting, and you still picked Morbius to go after?
Well, the police, they find out. Oh, okay, so the police found out that there was a second vampire, not from the violence in the subway, but from some violence in a park lot that we don't even see, but it's implied because he attacks those Wall Street guys that he met in the bar.
Right.
But we don't see that. We see them mess with him, and he gets pissed.
And then
he
goes off.
We think he's going to freak out, but he doesn't. No, he doesn't go off.
No,
we think he's going to, but then he leaves.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, he goes off.
Yeah,
after the fact, because he's sitting all the way up at the top of a building like a goddamn gargoyle and waiting for them.
Oh, and then he sees him leave night, and you think, oh, he's going to attack him. But then we cut to another scene.
Right.
And then we cut to, like, a new segment.
Yeah.
About some guys getting attacked, and then we cut to the police investigating it. And then they see the camera, and then they see the footage, and then they're like, oh, that's not the doctor. And then, and then fucking Al Medical says the dumbest line, like, oh, these bloodsuckers, they multiply. Like, fuck.
Like, yeah. Weirdly enough, I'm gonna say it, he's like the smartest dumb cop I've ever seen in a movie in my entire, like, in my entire time of seeing, like, cops in, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have cops who are, like, smart but dumb at the same time.
Yeah. He says dumb things to be funny. He's trying to be a funny cop.
But it's failing, like,
like
super
hard.
There's
no such thing as a funny cop. Cops aren't funny. But sometimes in movies, like I just think that one of, like, instead of good, like, when there's a good cop and bad cop, the good cop has to be funny.
Yeah. Like, or I'll put it this way, and I mean, you know this better than I. Funny works when you're not trying hard.
Yeah. Al Madrigal is a funny guy. I saw him live once, but he was trying hard on this movie.
Yeah. That's where I'm coming from, because it's like that with him and Kumail Nanjiani, right? In The Date. That's another random, like, Netflix film, like
the no, that's not what it's called.
That's not what it's called.
The Lovebirds.
The Love, yes.
Is that what it's called?
The okay. Lovebirds. Yes.
I have not
with him.
Seen it. Is it good?
It's okay. It's El Madrigal. All. It's El Madrigal.
El Madrigal the, level.
El Madrigal level comedy, okay. Like Kumail Nanjiani is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But as an actor given a script, he's not.
Oh, okay.
Or like...
Yeah.
Like, you're I mean, telling... Yeah. You're asking him to, like, improv. And I think that's what happened with El Madrigal. Like, they asked this dude to, like, improv a lot. And just,
probably.
And it just didn't go anywhere because... Yeah. It just did not go anywhere with this
guy.
Dude.
He didn't fit. He was trying to be funny in a movie that didn't want to be funny. And his tone did not fit with the rest of the movie.
Definitely.
What he was trying to do.
I'm trying to think now. Yeah. I had some people come in today. Like, I watched it today. And I'm just like... By the way, it's Tuesday going on to Wednesday. We've seen this. Yeah. Shano here has seen it, like, literally last week. Right?
Yeah, I saw last week. And then, you know, I watch a bit of it every day if I'm doing checks during my job. So,
like, at our job, we have people just come in and wanted to see Morbius. I'm just like, don't watch it.
Wait, do you really say that to people?
I'm dead ass. I think if I was ever to go into a comedy club and you asked me, like, hey, can you help me, like, fill a spot? I'd do it. I would literally joke about how many less fucks I give about the job. Like, with respect. Like, I'm not trashing my company. But if there's a bad movie being played right now, I'm going to tell someone to save their $50. You know what it's I mean?
Expensive. If somebody asks me, I don't go out of my way to say, hey, don't see this movie. I don't think that's my job. But if somebody asks me my opinion, I'm honest.
Yeah, that's where my
if
that's
somebody asks me,
from.
Sashi Mobius or Uncharted, I say Uncharted.
Right, that's where I'm coming from. Like, I'm not completely trashy. I'm just like,
There's a lot of other movies out right now that are, maybe not a lot, a few other movies out right now that are better.
Yeah.
The longer, if you want a short movie.
The Lost City.
Is that better?
I want to say it's scary, but you know what I mean? But it's I think it is.
Well, like I said, I think Uncharted is better. Spider-Man's still out, that's better.
Spider-Man is, listen. Spider-Man came out in December 17th of, like, 2020. No, 2021.
It's April.
We are in April, bro. Like, it is on its way to streaming right now. And what's irritating me is that it's being sold on streaming and it's not on Disney Plus at this point.
Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, it's a Sony movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Sony has the distribution rights. So, the character, the movie takes place in the MCU.
Right.
But Sony has the distribution rights. Sony's making money off of it. So does Marvel, but Sony gets the distribution money. And so that's why no Tom Holland Spider-Man movie has been on Disney Plus. Because Sony has those rights.
But...
I mean...
Didn't Disney buy Sony?
No.
No?
They should. But they have not.
Disney owns ABC, Fox. National Geographic, Fox, Marvel...
Star Wars.
And Pixar. But not Sony.
Not Sony, no.
Okay. I stand corrected. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
This is...
It's something people say a lot. I'm like, dude, it's Sony!
Right! Like, okay, now that... Okay, so that's why... Oh, okay. Okay, so that's why Homecoming, No Way Home, Far From Home are all on one end of that spectrum
Did you remember how they almost... Like, they they almost lost Spider-Man from the MCU.
Right.
Like, Sony almost went back to the deal. Like, you know, you can't have... You can't have it anymore. You can't have it anymore. And then like, Tom Holland called him and, like, was really drunk. Like, please work it out. I love the MCU.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, you can be in it, but, like, we're still making this money, but you can't... Maybe one of the stipulations was, okay, you can have the character in your universe, but it can't be under streaming services. I'm guessing that was in the negotiations.
That's definitely what's going on.
Because remember, it almost went away.
So that's true.
I mean, Spider-Man can show up in an MCU movie not called Spider-Man, and that will be a Marvel movie, and that will be in Disney Plus.
Right.
So if Spider-Man Civil is not War. In the title,
right,
then it's on Disney Plus. If Spider-Man is in the title, it's not Disney Plus, it's Sony. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. And that's what explains why Homecoming is on Stars and not Disney Plus.
Well, I think Stars has a Sony... Stars has had a Sony deal for forever. And they probably have a contract that doesn't end for a while.
That makes a lot of sense now. Okay, so which is why people are stars. Excited for the Venom Spider-Man mashup.
If that happens, you mean based on the end credits scene?
Yeah.
From
No Way Home. No,
yeah.
But yeah, back to Morbius.
Back to Morbius. Do you want to know where the end credits scene is?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't like it. My only problem with it was it wasn't written very well. The dialogue was kind of dumb.
But, is that when Michael Keaton shows up?
Yeah. The same lines as he does in the trailer. I don't know why they changed it. But so... okay, so when... So the end of No Way Home.
Right.
Doctor Strange does that spell. There's the things in the sky. When that happens, Michael Keaton's character disappears from that universe and appears in a jail cell in this Sony universe. He just appears, and he looks around, and he's like, "Oh, hope the food's better here." and then there's a whole news story that we see about how Adrian Toomes showed up in a prison cell, and he's gonna have a hearing to figure out what's going on, and then he's set free, because they're like, "Oh, we don't know who you are, so you don't have to be in prison anymore." And then so that's the first scene. The second scene, Michael's driving and he stops in a field, and then Michael Keaton is in his vulture suit. He shows up and he says, "Hey man, so I just showed up here, I think because of Spider-Man. Do you want to make a team so we can like do some good?" And then Michael is like, "Yeah, let's do it."
What the
fuck? So they sign up Sinister Six.
Oh my god.
Again, I guess.
Okay. All right. Oh my god. Does this mean we're going to see Paul Giamatti again?
I don't know. We know, so, you know, so I guess based off this, we know that it's going to be Vulture and Michael, at least.
Definitely Vulture, definitely Michael.
Kraven? Because there's a Kraven movie coming out.
There's a Kraven movie coming out.
Yeah, so it's
definitely Kraven. Venom.
That's 4.
I don't know about Doc Ock. He got fucked up in No Way Home.
I don't know. They did announce a Black Cat and a Silver Sable movie. Or maybe they split those to be two different movies. Oh, there's Madame Web movie. They announced that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be in the Sinister Six. She's a good guy.
Yeah, which wouldn't
And Black Widow is a good guy, but sometimes a bad guy. I mean, she's kind of like Catwoman. Same with Silver Sable.
Which then kind of gets testy. Because then it kind of gets testy, because then it goes into that whole Marvel thing. Because then isn't Black Widow Marvel property?
No, Black Cat is what I said.
Black Cat is Marvel property.
Because Black Cat...
Black Cat
has not been in the MCU yet.
So then Sony went and got her first.
Yeah, because she's in the comics, she's a Spider-Man character. She doesn't really pop up.
She doesn't really pop up anywhere else.
Yeah, besides Spider-Man comics.
True
that. So that's why Sony is able to do whatever they want with her.
That makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, I mean, so if she's a good guy, Silver Sable's a good guy, so then they've got to be in at least a few. I don't know. I don't know how they're doing this.
Maybe so. Ooh, which, if we're on this subject, Marvel has drawn themselves into a really creepy, crazy corner right now. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, so check this out. All right. So, if I'm following this all correctly, from the second part of Endgame, right?
Okay.
They try to do a time heist by going back in time and collecting each of the Infinity Stones to re-wish and re-bring people back.
Yes.
From the original snap.
Yes.
Here's what happens. They go back to get the Tesseract. Loki gets a hand on it, goes into a different dimension, gets caught by the time police.
Yeah, from the show.
From the show. Gets into it with Kang.
Yeah.
And never ends up going back to the original time frame to which he technically altered by leaving. Right? Have I lost you?
I mean, yeah, but it's not... They lost me first.
This is so what I'm saying. Like, that's the big thing. Right? Because, like, if you... Okay, so he picked up the Tesseract after Ant-Man fucked up and passed it to him, and he disappears. So where the fuck does he go?
That's why the TVA took him to erase that...
That timeline.
That time that, you know, him taking the Tesseract... messed stuff up, so taking him away from any timelines when he's with the TVA,
mm-hmm.
He's not in a timeline. The TVA is outside of time.
Right.
Okay. So that means whatever he messed up didn't happen because he's outside of time now.
All right. So here's where the hole happens. If they wiped out the entire timeline, why haven't the events that take place after that disappeared?
Well, I mean, Captain America put it back.
Hmm?
Captain America put it back.
Captain America...
He put back the Tesseract.
He put back the Tesseract.
I mean, look, that doesn't make any sense, though.
That's what... But you see what I'm saying?
It's not a Tesseract. It's the Infinity Stone. The Tesseract was the cube.
Right. The Tesseract... He went back...
Like, you can't be... Yeah, that's now I'm mad about Endgame. Like, wait,
you again. See what I'm saying? Like, okay, so then so Captain America goes back in time to give the Tesseract back and put it back in the original space
that's like you steal a lamp,
right?
And then you break it, and you're like, hey, give that lamp back. Like, I broke it. Why do you want it back?
Like, he puts it back in the original cube, gives it to the time where Howard Stark has it at a military
that's
base. Right.
That's what they...
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then, doesn't that mean the other events that lead up to Loki getting it where Ant-Man screwed up is supposed to, like, get fixed? But then that means Ultron never happens if the TVA wipe out that timeline. Do you see what I'm saying? Because after that point, right, after Loki gets caught in the original Avengers, the Tesseract is in the possession of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So then if the TVA picked up Loki around that time...
That doesn't make sense because, so now we see... Okay, that doesn't make sense.
You see what I'm saying now?
Well, no, this is just... It's so many...
It's so many issues with that, right? Am I off,
though?
That's
just an issue I always had with Endgame. Well, no, the problem with that scene where we're seeing, oh, hey, this is what happened after... Because it's like, you know, in movies, you cut from scene to scene.
Right.
Right? That's how movies work. But now you're trying to tell us, oh, but something happened after this scene that we cut from. Okay, so we're seeing, oh, this is what happened. You know how we cut after the Avengers were like, oh, Loki, you're done. Oh, stuff happened after that. It just didn't go from that to Shwama or whatever. We find out that what happened is that they argued over the Tesseract.
Right.
So if Ant-Man had never messed that up, then what happened? How do they go from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Tony and Thor arguing about who gets the Tesseract to Thor just having it? How did Thor and Tony win that argument with S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That's what I'm saying. That's right there, that argument is wiped out by TVA.
Oh, so they just changed?
That's what I'm saying.
The TV is just... The TV,
that's what I'm like.
The TV is just...
That's what I'm talking about.
It's just like, Kevin Feige.
Right. You went out there and drew yourself into a full hole. So then that means you wiped out that argument. You wiped out the fact that Thor and Tony win the Tesseract and have it in their possession. You went out and wiped out the fact that Ultron never fucking happened. So that means Ultron. Vision should have never been made.
Wait, what do you mean Ultron? No. Ultron didn't have anything to do with the Tesseract. Ultron was the scepter.
Ultron, right. Ultron's the scepter.
And the scepter, So Captain America took the scepter.
Right.
But then he put it back.
I guess.
But he doesn't put it back. Does he put it back? He doesn't put it back.
That's when
he goes back in time. He has a suitcase full of just the stones.
Right.
He doesn't have the scepter. So he goes back to where he took it with the stone. He's like, hey, this is part of what I took from you.
Doesn't, right.
I don't know, man.
So that doesn't make sense. Wanda's timeline makes fuck all sense. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see Wanda next in Doctor Strange. So
I don't know if Multiverse of Madness can actually, like, cover all of that, because then What If is supposed to be a part of canon in the first place. So then wouldn't all of the events that took place within WandaVision coincide with what happened with Loki and the TVA, and then also clash with What If they already defeated this super Ultron version that absorbed two or three of the Infinity Stones?
Well, What If doesn't, like, take place doing anything. They're different dimensions.
Of course they're different dimensions. But that's where that's what I'm saying, like, Multiverse of Madness comes in, where we see just like a little clip of, like, this little council with Patrick Stewart's Professor X. But then we also have Peggy, the Captain American, with Peggy, what's her last name?
Peggy Carter?
With Peggy Carter.
She's in that scene?
She's in that scene.
How do we know that?
Like, It's like there's like a meme out there, or rather there's a picture that pinpoints what each and every silhouette looks like. So you have Peggy Carter's silhouette, you have Professor X's, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to remember the third one was, I think it was supposed to be either...
The only silhouette I remember is somebody walking with some kind of staff. It looked like maybe they had a staff.
It looked like they maybe had a staff.
Mordo? I can't think of anyone else that would have a staff.
I can't think of anyone who would have it either. But I do remember Peggy Carter, her, like, swole ass being in that fucking scene. Hmm. Remember, like, doing a double take, because then it just, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, how does that fall in with everything that happens, especially if you're talking about messing with not only the concept of time, but other dimensions in the process?
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out in Doctor Strange. And then I guess with the all the other Marvel shows coming out, if they do another season of Loki or another season of WandaVision.
Or that's supposed to be like the new, or Kang is supposed to be the new like supervillain,
and he's gonna be in Ant-Man and the Wasp,
right? Right.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp 2, you mean?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Quantumania.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I think as far as the time travel goes, I think they don't want us to think too much into it.
That part. Like, yeah. Yeah. I can totally go with
that. I think as far... I think... I don't think they're trying to break any new ground with time travel. I think I think the reason they're doing all the time travel, all of it, is because the variants. Because variants of characters are fun, and they know we're gonna like them. They know that we liked the Loki variants, and then whatever kind of variants we see in Doctor Strange, that they know we're gonna like those too. And all the cool variants or cool visions, crazy visions of characters we see, is gonna make us forget about plot holes. I think that's the goal.
It's starting to feel like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're almost at time. Yeah. Let me cut this.
Oh my God, thank you so much for spending some time with me on Flick Through Friday. Please let me know if I've been of any help, if I have been any help to you at all. Let me know in the comments on my Instagram and or Facebook. Please be unafraid to shoot me a DM. I am always looking to improve. Once again, I appreciate you making it to the end. You have no idea how much I truly appreciate all of you, each and every one of you. So sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I will talk to you next time on Flick Through Fridays.